DW Africa Link.
Peaceful protesters are being intimidated and arrested in The Gambia. Citizens, especially young people, are taking to the streets over key grievances: the sharp rise in internet costs, demands for transparency in government asset sales, and a call to end corruption. But instead of a dialogue to address concerns, protesters are facing handcuffs, tear gas, and laws dating back to 1961.
When we are in a democratic dispensation, it calls for people to express themselves freely without being harassed or without being asked to stop.
So why is the government cracking down so hard on critics and protests? That's what's coming up. I am Eddie Micah Jr. and you are welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter.
Africa Link, every weekday, here on DW.
Two waves of peaceful protests have swept the Gambia so far this year. The first, in May, demanded transparency over assets seized from former President Yahya Jammeh. The second, in late August, was led by youth opposing the sharp hike in mobile data prices, which have increased by more than 240%. The move sparked outrage because affordable internet is vital for education, business, and civic life, especially for young Gambians already struggling with rising cost of living. And so they went on to protest, largely peacefully, but authorities say they broke the law. A so-called Public Order Act, a colonial-era statute that requires police permission for almost any public gathering. Critics call it outdated, unconstitutional, and a tool to shrink civic space. For more on this, let's bring in Madi Jobate, a renowned human rights defender dedicated to advancing democracy, justice, and good governance in The Gambia. I also have my colleague in Banjul, DW correspondent Sankule Janko. Hello and welcome to Africa Link. Sankule, you covered the recent protests. What was the mood like and how did events unfold?
From what I've observed from the events happening on the ground, and personally, I think it was very peaceful. Bear in mind the reason I'm saying this because the protesters do not even want to be noticed at some point simply because the time at which they decided that we are going to go to PURA, that is Public Utility Regulatory Authority, to hand them over a petition was within 24 hours, 48 hours period when they made that decision. So they know they do not have the time to go to the police and seek a permit. So all they wanted to do was to quietly go to the PURA headquarters and hand them over the petition and leave. So it was just a handful of people actually who went there. So if you ask me personally, I think it was very peaceful. It was very calm. Just a few people gathering to hand over a petition to the authorities to sort their grievance.
Right. So you say it was peaceful protest. So why are we hearing stories about authorities clamping down on protesters? How did that unfold?
Well, I personally don't know. For the police, they have this mindset or the belief that people should not gather without authority or without permit. Because in fact, one of the police inspector, the lieutenant that was on the ground, who was commanding the security services there, you could see him speaking to young people in a very aggressive manner. You are illegally, assembling here. You should not assemble here. So for them, so the fact that young people decided to come there without a permit, they seen that as illegal. And then, their mind was already made up that these people should not have guarded in the first place. So, they are here unlawfully. So for them, for the fact that they guarded without seeking permit in itself, it's not peaceful.
Let me come to you, Madi. You've been dealing with issues like this for years, right? When you saw all this happening, what were you thinking?
I had a lot of thoughts, mixed feelings, but certainly of anger, of disappointment, and, frustration and wondering what could happen next. How long will this continue? Because we had seen this over the past 22 years, that is the period of the dictatorship. You know, Gambians were denied to protest. And if you do, you most likely going to be killed and tortured. And the evidence of that is there. In 2016, people were shot to death. In 2016, when Solo Sandeng led a protest, he was killed with all his compatriots were subjected to severe torture. And again, this law that they are talking about is through this law that a lot of other people have been jailed, including the leader of the United Democratic Party in 2016, but also in 2009 or 2010, another politician called Femi Peters, who is late now, was jailed for 1 year for holding a meeting in Banjul. So that when we got to 2016, this government was coming in. The manifesto of the president, they said within 6 months of taking office, he would change all laws that infringe on democracy, popular participation, and human rights, and listed these laws. And the Public Order Act, you know, was number one in the list. And now we are 9 years. Nothing has happened. You know, let me just even say two journalists in 2012 had applied for a permit to protest death penalty in the Gambia, 2012. I mean, they were arrested just for applying for a permit. So this is how this law was being carried out. So that we come to this level now, 9 years later, after the end of the dictatorship, we see this law being used again to clamp down on peaceful protesters. So for me, it's really worrying and frustrating and mind-boggling, because peaceful protest is one of those tools citizens have to promote democracy, defend democracy and human rights, and ensure transparency and accountability. So if you have a situation like this, it's really worrying, because at the end of the day, those protesters who came out on Friday last week, according to the law, the Public Order Act, they were fully in line with the law, even though, as Sankule was saying, they insisted that the protest didn't have permit. But the protesters did not need a permit, according to the law, because the law recognizes public assembly. But it says if there are two things involved in a public assembly, that is when you need a permit. And these two things are a procession or the use of a loudspeaker, or both. And on Friday, the protesters were not engaged in a procession. They were assembled in one place and they did not have a loudspeaker. So clearly they are within the limits of the law, so that the police should have just allowed them to do what they were to do and disperse.
Right. So is it an issue with the law and how it's interpreted, or what's the big deal with it? It's also, I understand, a colonial era law. Tell us more.
Yes, so this law was created in 1961. At the time, governments were agitating for independence. So it's a colonial era law that for the first probably 30 years of independence, it wasn't actually utilized as such. It became prominent when we entered a military dictatorship, you know, when it has been utilized. And now, especially at this moment, it continues to be utilized. But what is lacking, like during the dictatorship, has been the refusal of the state, of the government, being held accountable because of its corruption and inefficiency, in delivering quality service to Gambians. So for me, it is not more about the law. The law is just being used as a cover. Rather, it's more about a government that is corrupt and inefficient and incompetent, and therefore not wanting to be held accountable, all right, by the citizens. Right. So if anything, they just have to have the political will to submit themselves to democratic principles and standards, but also ensure that there is good governance. Because at the end of the day, government has to be transparent, accountable, and responsive to the needs of the people efficiently.
Right. And this is one of the reasons, or among the many reasons that people went out there to protest, talking about governance, transparency, talking about corruption issues also growing in the country. And Sankule, talking to you as a journalist, not just that, but also as a citizen of the Gambia, over the years, have you realized any change at all from previous government, the Yahya Jammeh era? You know, he was quite heavy-handed. He basically was the law. And now a new government comes in promising democracy. Is that what the country has now?
That's a very interesting question, because you have to look at the factors that will determine for me to say whether it is democratic or not. So like a friend of mine would say during the university days, democracy does not only limit to, you know, staging elections here and there. I mean, I think I'll have to give a little credit in terms of engaging certain democratic, I mean, principles or certain democratic features. Yes, there's been an improvement compared to the previous government. I would have to say that from a journalistic perspective, for example, I mean, maybe you can write stories, you know, without being really scared or overlooking your shoulder who is watching you. You know, you have that editorial freedom now compared to before. But even at that, we've seen journalists being called to the police for questioning. In fact, even recently, the president's own party actually took two journalists for writing a story, you know, that was verified following, you know, democratic, I mean, ethical journalism. So it's a bit, if you ask me, yes, there's been an improvement. But again, just from what I've, the vox pops of some of the Gambians that I've spoken to, there's this feeling of Gambians going back to, you know, the Jammeh regime, the dictatorial regime, wherein, because this is a classical example of clampdown on protesters. This was the same system that the former president or the former regime used on Gambians to clamp down freedom of press, freedom of expression. And we are beginning to see signs of those tactics than previously used by the government. Yes. So I would say there's been an improvement overall, but there are fears of Gambians going back to, I mean, the system that really terrorized them for over 22 years. I'm still saying this because in addition to the, I mean, Public Order Act, mind you, there are other laws, draconian laws still in the Gambian books that really are still a hindrance to, you know, to freedom of the press, freedom of expression, freedom of the press, for example. You still have these, you know, laws that are still very, very difficult, because you could be arrested as a journalist, you know, for example, you have these cyber laws and here and there. So insofar as those laws still exist, I mean, it's still going to be hard to say Gambia is a fully democratic country, really.
Right. I mean, yeah, things are a bit better compared to the Yahya Jammeh era, but still, it looks like there's more room for improvement. And there are even concerns that things are descending to the
Jammeh era. Yes.
Yeah. But then you've been speaking to people on the ground, also some experts. Is that a genuine fear, or is it some sort of a phase, or how are they reacting to this? Is there more fear, defiance?
I mean, it is a genuine fear, if you ask me, Eddie, because it's becoming a pattern now. You know, if you could have called it a phase if it happens, let's say, once and it is done, right? But if it becomes frequent now, like we are seeing, particularly the clampdown on protesters, we've seen the arrest of journalists for questioning, even little thing you do, you'll be called for questioning here and there. So if it's just a phase, if it's a one-off, you could say perhaps it's a phase and here and there. But if it becomes repetitive, like we are seeing now, that is a genuine concern. And this is what some Gambians are saying, and including experts as well. So there is a genuine fear that, you know, we could actually, or we are gradually returning to the dark days that really traumatized Gambians, genuinely.
Right. Let me come to you, Madi. What, fun fact, although going through that was not fun, right? You yourself have personal accounts of police brutality. And now comparing it to those days, looking at now, should we really be concerned, or is this going to be a flash in the pan sort of thing?
Yeah, I think we should be concerned. You know, 9 years is long enough to tell us which direction we are headed to. And we are very, you know, much clearer. We all know what were the promises, you know, what were the agreements, and, you know, what programs or processes were set up in 2017 so that by 2025, we should have been seeing more of the change that we envisaged than what is happening now. So that when you look at the Truth Commission recommendations, the rate of implementation is, you know, less than 20%. And these are not fundamental, changes, seriously. What is happening, therefore, is worrying. It highlights a lack of political will and commitment to transition from dictatorship to democracy. I think the new rulers who came in 2017 have demonstrated by now that they are not really interested in democracy, but rather to perpetuate themselves in power. And the only explanation for that is because of the corruption, that matters to them. How to enrich oneself in public office. And so for me, that explains why the necessary legal and institutional reforms and constitutional reforms that we had agreed, you know, and set up institutions purposely for that did not materialize as promised, as set out in the objectives, in the targets that were put forward. So it's a really concerning situation we are in right now, and especially when you consider that, you know, the president is seeking a third term, he's a complete turnaround. I mean, in 2016, he was talking about a three-year transition, you know, and only to abandon 3 years to spend the whole entire 5 years, which is the term of presidency. But then to also go further to seek a second term, which he got, and now looking forward for a third term. So that it means we are going back to replay of 1995, when, again, you know, the military, when they took over, said 2 year transition,
right,
and, you know, only to, you know, abandon that and then go in for 5 years. So it's a very worrying trend. But I think the indications are very clear if one understands both the history and what is happening presently.
Right. I mean, what's the climate like for human rights defenders like you when you're trying to make authority accountable, the government accountable for some of these actions?
The climate certainly is a lot more safe and free than previously. But harassments continue, so that incidents of arbitrary arrest, detention, and imposition of trumped up charges remain a reality. I've been arrested arbitrarily, I think about 2 times at least. I've been imposed trumped up charges by the police. For the past 3 years, I'm under police bail. And I know of a number of other, you know, human rights activists, civil society actors, and even political opponents who, because of their criticism, or, you know, of government, and for protesting, were arrested. So these are things that are really concerning, because what is happening is that since 2017 to date, it is not subsiding. The trend is you know, building, and so eventually, where will this lead to? You know. We've seen the indiscriminate use of tear gas now. We've seen protesters, you know, sent to mile 2 because there is this weaponization of laws and institutions. So it's either they weaponize the Public Order Act or the police itself as an institution, but also the courts. Now we are seeing the courts being weaponized to send people to mile 2 who did not steal a dime from the government, who did not break a glass, who did not kill or, you know, commit any crime, but merely exercise of their fundamental rights right, in defense of democracy and accountability.
Right. Thanks for sharing that with us. Sankule, let me come to you as we wrap it up. It's clear what we are saying. Conditions may be slightly better than the Jammeh era, but it's still not looking good. And there are fears that we may go back to that era. So what do people expect now from the government? What are the calls being made urgently?
I think the calls being made, just like, from the people I've spoken to, from the ordinary Gambians that I've spoken to, the calls being made is for this government to stick to its promises that it made, to transition from a dictatorial regime to a full-fledged democracy. That's what they're asking for. They want better livelihoods. That's all they're asking for. They want jobs for young people, for example. They want the government to create opportunities wherein they will not need to go, to risk their life on the Mediterranean Sea, as we've seen just a couple of days ago, a lot of Gambians dying at sea in Mauritania. These are some of the things young Gambians are asking of the government. Give us a better livelihood. That's all they are asking for.
Are there any signs that the government is listening?
Well, again, it's a very tricky question. At some point, you would say, yes, there are signs that the government is listening. But again, it depends on who you talk to. Again, the government will tell you, for example, the information minister just in the press conference will say, well, we have adhered to your demands. We have done this. We have this. But on the ground, are Gambians really feeling these changes that they're talking about? Is the ordinary Gambian feeling? The ordinary Gambian goes to the market today, and then a week later you go back, you realize that the price of a commodity has increased. You realize that your salary cannot sustain your fares, your rentals. I mean, these are some of the basic things young Gambians are asking for. And then from their point of view, nothing has been done. Nothing much has been done, even though the government will say we've done so. But ordinary Gambians are yet to see, are yet to have real impact on some of the questions that they are asking for, really.
Thanks, Sankule. Madi, you have the final words. What's the way forward now? What kind of reforms are needed to protect human rights, including really the right to peacefully protest in the Gambia?
In one sense, the way forward is very established, by the government itself, with the civil society and its development partners. We are in a transitional justice process or program. It has reforms, legal reforms, institutional reforms, including security sector reforms. And, all of these are well laid out. So, of course, we have a whole history behind us to learn from, so that the way forward, really, I think it's for the government to demonstrate the political will and recommit itself to what it has already committed itself to do since 2016. So all that is required, really, for the way forward is for them to stop and reverse. But that requires that political will to recognize that we are on a wrong track and we need to reverse to go on the right track.
Thank you very much, Madi, for that submission. And it's really a case of implementing the law and preventing the abuse of the law. Thank you very much, Madi Jobate, renowned human rights defender, and DW correspondent Sankule Janko in Banjul, The Gambia.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
So how do recent events compare to those during Yahya Jammeh's reign? We asked some Gambians.
When we are in a democratic dispensation, it calls for people to express themselves freely without being harassed or without being asked to stop, compared to what used to happen in a dictatorial regime.
It's increasingly more and more difficult to hold protests. And I think it might be because of the political environment is getting more and more charged as we go towards the elections.
Inside the Gambia, young people say the crackdown is a betrayal of democracy. They argue that internet costs are choking education, jobs, and civic participation. Rights groups say the Public Order Act is being misused to silence dissent. But the government defends its actions, saying it's about law and order, not repression. Still,
the arrest of journalists covering the protests and the continued use of colonial-era laws raise serious questions about how far Gambia's democratic reforms have really gone. So what do you think? We value your input and encourage you to share your thoughts with us on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Listen to us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to click follow and subscribe to our DW Africa YouTube channel so you never miss an episode. This show was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. And I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for listening.
DW. Made for Minds.